0422. The PIN? Didn't come up. It asked for the PIN. There we go. We'll get this set up here. If you guys want to turn over in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 27, we'll take a look at this psalm here. Title of this message tonight, This Is My God. This is a very personal psalm. As we turn over there, we're going to take a look at the psalm and do some exegesis with us. There's a lot of interesting words in here, and want to stress to you the importance of understanding words have meanings. And words in the Hebrew are words different from the Greek, and words can are always the determined meaning is by the context in which they're in. So we have to understand the context of the passage of Scripture in order to understand the words. You know, the Word of God is full of verses that teach us His grace, His mercy, His long-suffering, His provisions for us in our lives. And many of us in this age of time right now, we ask whether God's Word is for now. And this just isn't working for me. Why isn't this working for me? Why can't I just trust in God's promises and everything turn out rosy in my life? It just isn't working. So we're going to see David at this particular time in his life in this psalm, just what he was thinking. But you see on your handout, on the very top of your handout, I posed a question. There's a line there that says, what do I fear the most in my life? We're all afraid of something in our lives. It can be right now during this COVID period, it could be death. Or it could be making somebody happy, a spouse or a boss, you know. Or it could be anything. It could be your children, even apostasy, people walking away from Jesus Christ, or your marriage. I mean, we all have many fears in our lives. And is fear okay? Yeah. Fear is part of everyone's life. But when we understand what fear is rooted in, and we understand that our lives are out of our control in the general sense. Now, obviously, if we make poor decisions, there's going to be consequences go to that. And if I'm to get up on the roof and when it's raining right now, and there's going to be a consequence, I could fall off. So I should be afraid of falling. So that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about things that are out of our control. Totally out of our control. So let's look at the psalm. Let's read this first six verses so we can see just what David was talking about here. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek Him, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in this time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion, in His secret place of His tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in His temple. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. So how do we get that kind of mindset, that kind of exuberance that David had, that this time in his life where he was totally dependent upon God? He was totally dependent on everything in his life at this particular situation, he depended upon God. You can imagine what it was like for him based on this context that there was people wanting to kill him. They didn't just want to kill him. It says in verse 2, they wanted to eat his flesh. I mean, that seems atrocious. But if you remember David's past history, David had a terrible sin with Bathsheba and her relative was very unhappy with him, and David actually had Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, killed. And so he had enemies in that camp there. And you remember Saul. Saul chased him around for 7 years trying to kill him. So he ran for his life a lot, waiting on the Lord. And we even think of the other situations in his life where other enemies. I mean, David was actually a man that was great in battle. He during his time as a king, he won many, many battles for the Lord. In fact, David was prepared to build the temple for God, the first temple. And God says, you have too much blood on your hands. You cannot build this temple. So Solomon ended up having to build the temple. But David lived a life where he had a lot to fear. You know, in comparison to you and I, our life seems, you know, trivial. We just got small things going on. You know, we may have some big things now and then where, you know, they're very serious. But the point is that even in these big trials and these little trials, the mindset's the same. The mindset that this is my God. I can trust Him no matter what. It says in this first line, the Lord is my light. My light. First of all, here in this verse, the Lord is Yahweh. This is the name for the God of Israel. This is a very personal name, my Lord. And the light here is the Hebrew word or. And or means daylight, dawn of a new day. And light is often described with a positive thing, isn't it? It's always a positive thing, light is. As contrast to darkness. Darkness is negative. Light is positive. David was totally confident, we see number one on our handout, that God is and will always be the light of hope in his life. He was all in. He was totally confident 100%. He had no doubts in his mind that God would deliver him. We see in Psalms 18:28 a similar verse. For you will light my lamp. The Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. That mindset that you will enlighten my darkness. And unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. You notice always that contrast, light and darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. We see in Lamentations 3:24, though the Lord's mercies may be consumed, or they are not consumed, though His mercies are renewed every morning. Great is His faithfulness. The Lord's mercies are renewed every morning. Every daylight, His mercies are renewed to us as believers in Christ. We see also He's not only light, but He's my salvation. He's my salvation. Salvation is the word yasa. These are Hebrew words. And it means to help or deliver a victory. Have a victory. So David was saying that you are my light, my source, my enlightenment, and my deliverance. Victory. Who likes victory? Who likes to win all the time? We all like to win. So his earnest expectation in this verse was to be delivered from these enemies that were chasing him by God. That was his earnest expectation. That's what he 100% believed that God would do. The mindset of David in these terrible circumstances was a testament of his faith in God. A testament of his faith in God. You know, I don't know how many times I wished I just thought like David. I wish I could get in his sandals and be just like him. And David was a common man. We know in Acts chapter 13, and Paul there said, and I found David, or Luke said, I found David, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. This was a man that God believed that he would do all his will. And he gave us an example of a godly person. Yet David was a man, a person that made a lot of mistakes. 2 Samuel 22:33 says, the God of my rock, in him I will trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, the horn of my deliverance, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Look at those words. My high tower, my refuge, my Savior. I mean, can we say these things about our God? He saveth me from violence. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is My rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. That David was completely convinced of his deliverance. So he asked the question based on the first statement, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? This fear here, this word, is Yahweh. And I don't know if anybody remembers the devotional back in July, but Yahweh was in that context in Psalms 33:18. It meant fear, it meant reverence. But here, Yahweh means something totally different. It means to be afraid. To be afraid. It means afraid, respect, reverence, or to be in fear. In this context here, it means to be in fear. David said, whom do I need to be in fear of? Why? Because he was depending on the character of God, who God was and what God did in the past. The Lord is the strength of my life. That bold statement. The Lord is the strength. The Hebrew word strength here is mazu. And mazu is protection. It means a mountain stronghold or a fortress. I mean, that sounds really solid to me. As a guy, I think, man, a mountain stronghold or a fortress, that's really strong. And that's the strength. That's what he's talking about here. The Lord is my mountain stronghold. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. You see, light in the first part of the verse signified understanding. David's understanding. And his strength here signifies his defense. He understood, and here's his defense. His defense is the strength of his life is the Lord. The Lord's strength. Why David trusted God. We see the third one. The stronghold of his life was based on God's promises. And David's experience of truth fulfilled in the past. You know, David lived this. He lived dependency upon God. You can imagine being chased around for some 7 years by Saul and wanting to kill you. And twice he had a chance to kill Saul himself, but he did not because Saul was the king. So David, he knew what this was about this being chased around, this fear of death. But you know what? At this point in his life, he wasn't afraid. And you know, a lot of this comes with maturity. It says in 2 Samuel 22:33, God is my strength, power, and he makes my way perfect. God's my strength and my power. And David didn't always think this way, remember. David had trials in life. He had many of them. But it shows us his humility. And what it shows us is that God is willing to work with us no matter where we're at. No matter where we're at in life, God is willing to work with us. I mean, David is just such a great example of a person of faith, a person of courage, a person of strength. Of whom shall I be afraid? He asked the question, of whom shall I be afraid? I have God. He's my light. He's my salvation. I have nobody to be afraid of. Afraid here is apat. It means tremble to live in terror. Now, I don't know if you think like me, but when I first read this, I see the word fear and I see the word afraid. I mean, that's the same thing in my book. But they're two totally different words. Afraid means to live in terror, to be trembled, to actually be afraid. He said, who do I need to be afraid of? Who do I need to live in terror of? Lord is the strength of my life. I have the Lord on my side. And as believers in Christ, we are the same way. We have the Lord on our side. We have nothing to be afraid of. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. I will trust and not tremble. I will trust in Him. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He's also become my salvation, my deliverance. Isaiah the prophet said. And you know, it's this, I'm in grammar, so I'm a little bit not exactly like Jolene. Jolene's really good at grammar, but I think about grammar now when I look at these verses. And Pastor brought up a good point the other day about the grammatical portions of these verses, you know, these authors and their genre and how they write. You know, this is a very interesting verse because it's a parallel passage. It asks two questions and has two answers. And what's interesting is it's also got, it's got two independent clauses, two clauses that make a statement, and then it's got these two dependent clauses. These two dependent clauses are dependent upon these other clauses. And this verse is loaded, just totally loaded with personal pronouns. The Lord is my strength. He is my salvation. I don't have to fear. The Lord, my life, I be afraid. I mean, it's just all personal. It's all personal to David, and it's personal to us. Because this is our God. This isn't just the God of David. This is our God as well. And so we can have that same mindset. So the question is God the source of your life? You know, light brings a sense of excitement. We in this verse, for the Lord is of my light. You know, during trials and tribulations in your life, in dark times, you know, everybody likes light. Everybody likes to see the end of this trial. And days like today, when it's rainy and dark, you know, it's a depressing atmosphere. And this can go on forever. But the opposite of that, in the spiritual sense, is light. We always are in the light when we're dependent upon Jesus Christ. We're dependent upon God. We're always in the light. We always have sunshine. We don't want to live in darkness. Do you look for God for deliverance in your trial? Do you praise Him for the victories in your life? Do you praise Him for the victories and for the trials? Now the question you wrote on, or the answer you wrote on the top of your paper, what do you fear the most in your life? Not measuring up in someone's eyes, or you know, like we talked about before, dying? You know, here's a missionary. His name was Jim Elliot. A lot of you have probably heard about Jim Elliot. He was a graduate of Wheaton College. Young man, he was he's would have been 95 now, or close to 95, but he was 37 years old when he went in Ecuador to evangelize the tribe that was known for spearing, for killing people. And they made contact with this tribe a couple times and gave them the gospel. And the last time they flew in there, they were all killed. And Jim Elliot had this quote before. Before he even got killed, he said, "There is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. No fool who gives what he cannot keep." And we can't keep our lives. We can try to be in the self-preservation mode where we're trying to not get COVID or not do something this or not do something that. But when God decides it's our time to die, it's our time. Hudson Taylor, a great missionary from China, said, "Our difficulties are only platforms for the manifestation of His grace, power, and love." His grace, power, and love. We can only see God working in our lives when we have difficulties in our lives. We have trials. You know, the church flourishes historically when difficult situations are in, like now. In churches are flourishing because of this COVID, because people are wondering, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to me? This man lived he was born in London, trained first, and then went to teach in inland China. He spread the gospel message throughout China and made a huge impact there in that region. What about this guy? Anybody know who this guy is? I'm sure if you're a Viking fan, you know what this guy is. This guy's name is Kirk Cousins. This is probably the expression he had last Sunday after Tennessee kicked a field goal to give him his third loss. But this is a guy that's making $32 million a year. He's a multi-gazillionaire. And what Kirk Cousins said before the season started, in light of this COVID crisis, he said, "If I die, I die." And the liberal world went crazy. You die? What are you talking about if you die? But his exact words from this article that I printed out says, "I have peace," Cousins said. "I don't believe that I control the outcome of my life. There are many things out of my control, but obviously my faith is the foundation of my life. I trust that the Lord to handle things. If something happens, I trust Him to have a plan and purpose, and to use even pain, a setback or adversity. See, Kirk Cousins, you know, I don't know for sure what he believed, if he's a believer in Christ. Some say he is, but he wasn't worried about life. He's not worried at all. So the application to us as believers in Christ is that we can rely on God's promises of light. Salvation is based on His character, God's character. So if we're relying on God's character, we can rely on God's promises. And nothing can separate us from His love. We see in Romans 8:39. Nothing can separate us from His love. Turn over in your Bibles in closing this up to Hebrews chapter 4. You know, as I was studying this and praying about it, I got to thinking, why don't we just get it? We see God's promises are true. We see Him working in our lives. We know based upon the Bible, His inherent word, that He doesn't lie. And it's in the Bible, so why don't we just believe it? Turn over in Hebrews chapter 4, let's look at verse 2. It says, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith to those who heard it." Now we hear these verses. We hear the Psalms chapter 27, verse 1. It says, "God is my light, God is my salvation. I got nothing to fear." But yet, we don't believe it. We don't mix with faith because we're not sure. And so what we need to do is, based on God's character, is to trust in Him, to place our trust in Him. We need to place our trust in Him for our salvation. Jesus Christ came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, paid for every one of our sins, and tells us simply accept the gift by placing your faith in what Jesus Christ did for you. And He promises eternal life. He promises us the deliverance from the penalty of sin. And in our Christian life, He promises delivers us from the power of sin. And that's what we're talking about here in Psalms chapter 27. The power of sin in our life. We can be delivered from that if we just place our faith, depend upon Him in our lives. This Christian life, this sanctification, is not lived a different way than how we got saved. It's simply by faith, by trusting in what God did for us. So I hope this made sense. Let's close in prayer, then we'll do the Lord's Supper. Heavenly Father, thank You for this passage, Lord. Even thank You for these examples. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You that we can draw these truths from there. We can base our beliefs on solid principles that You give us, Lord. And just thank You for Your prophecy throughout time that proves to us that this Bible is true. These words are true. And thank You for Your character. Thank You so much for Jesus Christ and His work on the cross for us. So thank You. We pray that this passage of Scripture would just impact our thinking, Lord, but not just impact our thinking, it impact our daily lives. We'd place this in our heart and we'd remember it. And we'd remember that You are our light. You are our salvation. We have nothing to fear. So thank You for this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.